I'm speaking with Peter Marcus of Colder Grieve. You are a consultant for Statoil. Can you explain what the consultancy is?
I am actually working for Statoil. I am the EIA manager for Statoil and the leader of the impact assessment department in Statoil.
Now, when you say impact, do you refer to all the impacts? There are social impacts, environmental impacts, and so many.
That's correct. We would cover all of those in an impact assessment process.
And have you worked other offshore wind power impact assessments?
I have been involved in some of the other projects we have in the high wind demo projects in Norway.
Norway.
We've done some underwater acoustic noise measurements that I've been responsible for.
No. Has there been a review of any impacts to the sort of prevailing water currents of the area?
In Norway, you think about?
Well, there you only have one, so it's not going to be that significant.
No, we haven't done anything on that in Norway, no.
Let's talk about some of the environmental impacts that Statoil is looking at. Or I suppose there are things for birds, marine mammals, a lot of life out there.
That's correct. What we are currently doing is that we're in dialogue with the both state and federal agencies to agree upon the studies that we should conduct. And what we have already conducted is an avian and bat survey, where we use both visual assessments on a vessel during transects in the lease area, and we're doing acoustic measurements, and we're also going to utilize a thermal camera to do nocturnal
measurements. I believe that the Deep Sea Wind Project might be using also a radar type system. Are you all contemplating any use of that?
We have used the Nexrad radars to get some coarse data on the movement in the area, and so far it looks good. It looks like it's not the most busy area, but the challenge of radars offshore is that you need a stable platform, so it's difficult to use for a floating installation where it wouldn't be stable enough. So.
Now, have you identified particular concentrations of birds that move through the area seasonally?
No, we have recently started the studies. We've only been there twice, so it's a bit early to say something about the results right now.
It sounds interesting. So, are you one of the people then that goes out on the water there in that area? And this is the season, I think, I suppose. But, it's safe to go out there. So, can you describe one of these missions if you've gone on these birding missions?
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been able to attend them myself. Would wish to have a trip. That would be great. But we have hired Tetra Tech to support us in this process. So they are conducting these surveys on our behalf.
Have you contracted with somebody about marine mammals?
We are working with Tetra Tech on that as well. And the knowledge about the presence of marine mammals in the area is very good. So we already have quite a lot of data on it. That we're going to utilize to map the use of the areas.
What other organisms are you looking at?
Other organisms?
Yeah,
we were also looking at benthic communities, sea bottom organisms, and we're going to do fisheries, of course, going to do onshore surveys. We'll have a cable route onshore that we're also going to assess. There are so many studies.
Now, so you'll be having, obviously, the power has to come ashore. You'll have some kind of structures there somewhere on land then.
That's correct. We will have a small building onshore and a cable up to an existing substation.
So it'll immediately then begin producing power as opposed to being a prototype.
Oh, definitely. And actually, our high wind demo is also producing power to the grid. It's actually produced 19 gigawatt hours so far, so it's quite a lot.
Now, were you involved in the review and creation of that one?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't from the beginning. I came in a bit later. So.
Very exciting, though, because as soon as people, myself and others, heard about it, I thought, this is so much saner than these shallow water ones that are permanently pitched in there from an environmental standpoint. You know, those, you can never say you're sorry, you know, once they're in. And so we thought Stato was being terribly progressive with that, you know. What are some of the challenges you'll face, you know, as you go through this? And really, where are you in this process?
We're now in the quite early phase, so now I'm mapping what studies we should do, and agreeing upon the scopes of work with the relevant agencies. So then we're going to conduct those and gather the data, and then submit this as part of our construction and operations plan, and that will be subject to NEPA review by
Now, who is the sort of the head of the offshore wind division, because of Stato? Really, a lot of us don't have a very clear idea of I guess it's the high wind division or something. Who's the head of that division?
We have, well, it's a very large organization, so we have several managers. Ståle Tungesvik is one that is the renewables and department in Stato.
No. Are there other forms of renewable energy that Stato is looking at?
Yes, we have a strategy. We're also into carbon capture and storage, and we have also been looking a bit into geothermal energy.
Mm. And are those beyond prototype stages, either of those?
Carbon capture and storage we've been working on for a while and actually done in several locations, but geothermal is a bit more early stages.
Now, if fishermen, anyone else wants to contact Statoil about environmental issues that they think should be evaluated, who should they contact?
We have we realized that it's important to have someone in the same time zone as you guys here in the U.S. So we have hired the communication from Barton & Gingell to help us in that process, and we have produced an email or provided an email address in our fact sheets that gives us the contact information to Barton & Gingell. So any requests could be directed to them, and then they will contact the relevant project members to respond.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.